Good to see everybody that's here in person. Glad to have you joining with us there online, whether you're on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, any of those platforms. Be sure to heart, to like, share, subscribe, follow us, do all those things necessary to get the word out. If you want to share a prayer request with us, please do that over on Facebook. That's where some of us will be looking at it for the live so that we can share that live. You can make a comment on any of those platforms and we'll see that. We just won't see it for the live. So be sure to put your prayer requests there. And welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming. Also, thank you for being with us tonight. If you have access at home to our church website, go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. Here in person, you can grab one of the bulletins, but you can download the bulletin there on the website under the info tab. You can download the children's worship bulletins. Those are in the windowsill to my right if you need those, or if you just want to take some and share those. What usually is left over, we take over to the ministry center on Fridays when we have the food distribution, and families pick them up usually over there for kids. But you feel free to take those, feel free to print those at home if you need. And then also under that info tab is the prayer list for tonight. So be sure to get that downloaded. If you need this in person, they're on the front pews here at the front. So be sure to get one of those before we get to that time of prayer and get that downloaded at home. You can have a digital copy there. You can print it however you want to do that. I want to encourage you also while you're on the church website there to do your online giving. You can do your regular budget offering giving. You can do your giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. So I encourage you to take the time to do that. We still have a few of the sheets left out in the hallway out here on this table. They're not out here of our local missions, our state and national missions, as well as our international missions. Encourage you to pick those up, be praying for those ministries, and make yourself aware of the ministries that we do support, whether financially or with people. There's many different ways that we support those ministries, and so keep those needs in your prayers. And also continue to be praying for our international missionaries with our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We also want to remind you, every time you come, stop by the post office out here outside the offices. Even if you think you may not have gotten cards, you may have some cards out there. We don't want to have to hunt down everybody after Christmas to give those to you. But be sure to stop by the table there. If you have a group of them, they're already rubber banded together. So if you find a rubber banded group that has your name on it, that whole rubber banded group is yours. So be sure to grab those. If you have cards that you want to drop off for individuals, please do that. And then you can also use the box that's over on the left there to give your offering for the postage that you would have sent those through the mail. And gosh, postage has gotten expensive, hasn't it? So this is a cheap way for you to send. You can do whatever postage you feel like you can afford to do. Also want to remind you, coming up Sunday is our Christmas program. Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, our adult choir is going to be singing, the children are going to be singing in this also. And so we want to encourage you to get the word out, share with others. We've got some posters like this, some small ones that are down here in front of the pulpit. Be sure to grab one of those, take it with you this week and share it with others. It'll be on our social media platforms tomorrow. So be sure to share it there when you see it there also. And then also don't forget our drop-in communion service that's going to be happening on December the 24th on next Tuesday from 5 to 7. Encourage you to come with your families. It's a special occasion that you get to do the Lord's Supper with your family if you so choose. Or if you're just an individual and want to come, that's totally fine also. But it's a special occasion that we get to do that on Christmas Eve there and celebrating not only the birth of Christ, but through the communion, celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in our forgiveness of our sins. So thank you for being here tonight. Be sure to pick up one of those prayer lists if you come in. Make sure if somebody comes in late, they get one. Brother Mike.
Your voice sounds a lot better. Yes. With our scriptures and stuff that we're going through and the text with Israel depending on Egypt, not a good thing. There's only one mighty fortress you can depend on, and that's a mighty fortress is our God. So those of you that are already standing, remain standing. Join us as we sing hymn number 8.
Right. Hopefully at home you've had a moment to get your prayer list downloaded there, that you can be able to see a copy of that. If not, you can just follow along with us as we go over some of these that are on our prayer list and give you some updates of some. Some we have removed from last week. We've removed Madison Barnett and Lyndon Joe Ray last week also. So, but do continue to keep some of those in your prayers. All right, so as you take a look at your prayer list, let's look at the Highland Baptist Church family side there. Jim's in the house, so I was going to ask him about David, how David's doing.
David's doing fine. He's got another CAT scan January 13th, and we're just hoping and praying that it's just like the last one, a clean bill of health.
Okay. So this is David Hess. For those of you at home, Jim Hess is here with us, and he just gave us the update that David has a CAT scan on January the 13th. Things have been good so far, and we pray that that report will be good as well, that everything will be good for him. Want to continue to remember Linda Jones, Brian Tate, George Duncan. If you have any updates on any of these, please stop me and we'll take a moment to update. Lee and Sue Stevenson, just continue to pray for Lee as he continues to progressively decline. Continue to pray for Sue in caregiving for him. Remember Miss Janet Carter, who's at home. Remember Ben Murray, who's still recovering. He still has a ways to go, but doing great. Went to the two-week follow-up, and everything was great with that. So we praise the Lord. Just pray everything continues going that direction. You have Miss Kay Williams on your prayer list right under him, but she had her stitches removed today. And so we praise the Lord for that. She's doing better, so you can remove her from your prayer list there. Continue to remember Nancy Ritchie, who's in a rehab facility down in Florida, and then also Bob Foglia, who still hasn't overcome some of his medical issues that he had a few weeks ago, and so keep him in your prayers as he continues to recover from those things, some of that with his heart and some other things going on there. Any other of our Highland Baptist Church family? All right, on our friends and family side, let me give you a few updates of some. I specifically wanted to make sure to ask Pastor Matt tonight some of the ones, because we have about four of those on that side with his family. Val Kohler, who's listed there, she has stage four cancer. They are just managing her cancer right now. That continues ongoing. She does continue to decline, but pray for her. Pray for her husband. They are going to some grief counseling, especially he is with all that's going on with his wife Val. So keep Val Kohler, who is Matt's aunt, in your prayers. Remember Jay Barbier and Tim Forsyth, both of those with cancer treatments. Both are doing pretty good. Tim Forsyth has had a little more difficulties than Jay has, but just continue to remember Tim as he's done really well, extraordinarily well, through his procedures. Remember the Ray family. This is another part of Matt's family. One of the young men that's a part of that family has some drug addiction problems, so want to continue to remember him in your prayers. And then Bethany Stringfield Brooks, she has a hearing test. Everything went great with her neurology. She got released from there, but she has a hearing test in January, so mid-January, so keep her in your prayers as that'll be upcoming. Philip Schell. Okay, so Philip started a new medicine yesterday, and things seem to be going okay with that, so continue to keep him in your prayers that things will continue to go well there. Remember David and Joni Peck. Teresa Kohler, who is Matt's mom, she still has her torn meniscus, hasn't gotten the surgery yet on that. He told me that they're trying to get her A1C down so that they can be able to do the surgery, but she is doing a little better from the torn meniscus that she has. I've not heard an update from Ken or Diane on Brad Tatum, their son. Is anybody here? I know he had a long recovery there with the surgery he had on his foot, and also trying to stay off of it. So keep him in your prayers still, that everything is going well with him. James Lee Henderson is the infant that is a friend of Olivia's little baby that was born about a month and a half ago now. Yesterday, they just moved him out of the NICU to what I would call a step down almost. They are able to take him outside the hospital now themselves, just to like take a walk with him in the stroller or such. And so things are improving for him. That's another step towards them being able to take him home finally. But continue to remember James Lee Henderson and his parents in your prayers. Continue to remember Crystal Schroyer, who has bone cancer, who is a relative of Belle Royton. Remember Cody Kohler. This is Matt's brother. He was in a car accident. He has the only issues he's having is right now, or the most prominent issues, is with his head, and so he's got a cognitive test that's going to be upcoming in January. So keep him in your prayers as he continues to heal from that car accident that he was in. And then remember Barbara Prince with colon cancer. That's Ann Smith's aunt. And then also Marilyn McClendon, we removed from the prayer list. She had had surgery and is doing well also. Want to remember Glenn and Mary Leibig, who is Linda Smith's parents. Want to continue to remember them in prayer. Remember Pat and Carrie Robinson. That's Samantha's sister and brother-in-law. They both work for the U.S. Embassy. They're foreign service officers. She is in Haiti. I think they don't tell us a whole lot because of security concerns. But we think he's still in D.C., she is in Haiti. She messaged us the other day through an app that she's able to do that with and said that the gangs are cutting the phone lines more and more, and so the phone service is very spotty. They had one of their guards who had a heart attack the other day. His colleagues went out to administer CPR, and then there was gunfire, and so they had to leave him there, and he did pass away. So keep her and her husband, Pat, in your prayers, as well as all of those who are still there in Haiti with our U.S. Embassy. And then also, if you did not know this today, Miss Ann Noes, Brother Ray Noes's wife, passed away. So remember the family and friends of Ann Noes. I don't know yet that the arrangements have been made, but as they do, we will let you know that. But Ray is our former mayor, if you're wondering the connection there. So keep that family in your prayer. She had been having some heart issues, that's what they believe had happened this morning. Any others or updates on any others on that side of the list? Okay. All right. So that was on Nancy Ritchie. She's still at the rehab, so keep her in your prayers. On our nursing home assisted living list, continue to remember Mary Campbell at NHC, Bertie Davis at Brookdale, Sue Prince at Morning Point, Beverly Daniels at Morning Point. Is Susie at Morning Point, or is she still in the hospital? Back at Morning Point. And so she had a heart attack, and things continue to decline for her, so keep her in your prayers with her medical issues there. Remember Hoyt Farrell at Legacy Nursing Home, Gordon Jackson, who's now at NHC in Tullahoma, and Miss Imogene Smith, who's over at Lynchburg at the nursing home center there. One of the things I did not do a while ago, and I wanted to purposely move it out of order there the way I had it on the slides, is because as we go to the Lord in prayer, we also want to pray for our missions efforts and pray for our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We've got two short videos that we want to share with you this evening about our missions work through the IMB. So prayerfully watch both of these videos.
North Africa and Middle Eastern peoples live in a place where history blends with the modern world, a place of extravagant wealth and extreme poverty, a place that produces more refugees than any other place in the world, a place filled with unengaged and unreached people groups where lostness is growing every day. But this is also a place where the church is engaged in a captivating resurgence unlike any other. In an area where 65% of the world's current conflicts are happening, Pray for those who are hurting, scared, or broken to find Jesus, the Prince of Peace. With many North African and Middle Eastern people relocating around the world, pray this newfound freedom will embolden them to seek the one true God, Jesus. Roughly 8 out of 10 people from Northern Africa and the Middle East use social media. Pray God will raise up local believers who will share the truth of Jesus on those platforms. Pray for God to raise up national leaders among the 802 people groups of Northern Africa and the Middle East. From the Great Commission until the Great Multitude, we will bring the gospel to every people group. This is our great pursuit.
We're Zach and Hannah Welch, and along with our 3 children, we're your IMB missionaries to Ivory Coast, West Africa. In the United States, I was an attorney, as well as a bivocational pastor at a small Southern Baptist church in Tallapoosa, Georgia. In many ways, our life has translated well to West Africa, as I manage the entities and properties of our mission here, as well as help missionaries find housing, find vehicles, helping keep our missionaries on the ground. I also work with churches as I preach several times a month and disciple people who disciple more people.
Since I was a teacher in the States, I have continued to use those gifts and abilities that the Lord has given me here in the Ivory Coast through homeschooling our children and teaching women in the local church. Thank you for your giving to the cooperative program and to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, which gives us a presence here in the Ivory Coast.
So we have missionaries who are serving in all kinds of capacities. You may not have thought of someone having been formerly a lawyer serving God, but we do have missionaries who are serving in all kinds of capacities. We have another video about that that we're going to be sharing this coming Sunday. So let's pray for our Lottie Moon Christmas offering, our international missions, as well as all of these that are on the prayer list. Has anybody got Facebook open? If you see any that are there, let me know after we come back, after we've had our prayer time, and we'll mention those also. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessings that you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to be in your presence tonight. We pray, God, that you will, Lord, draw us close to you. Lord, as we draw close to you, we recognize, Lord, that you are a holy and a righteous God. Lord, there is nothing that can stand in your presence. Our sinfulness, Lord, brings us low before you. And so, Father, whatever sinfulness there might be, whether it's in our thoughts, whether it's in our hearts, whether it's in our actions that we've committed, whether it's things maybe we didn't do that we should have done, Father, I pray and ask that you would forgive us of our many sins. Lord, lead us, Lord, to repent of our sins. And we pray that you would cleanse us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for those who may not know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we pray, God, that the gospel will go forth to them and that they would respond to turn to Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. Father, we pray tonight on behalf of each one of these that we're praying for on this list. Lord, we didn't want anything to hinder those prayers. That's why we've come to you in confessing those sins. You've told us that if we hold on to sin in our hearts and don't confess those things, don't repent of it, you will not hear from heaven. It acts like a block between us and you. And so, Father, I pray that the lines would be completely open, that you would hear our hearts' prayers tonight as we uplift each one of these individuals. Lord, some of these individuals are facing very dire, difficult situations. Some of these individuals are going through long-term illnesses. And Father, we just pray that you would be with both of those, Lord, that you would bring comfort, that you would bring healing to each one of those in their hearts and in their lives. Lord, we pray for those who have lost loved ones. Father, we pray that you'll send the Holy Spirit, who is the great comforter, to bring peace and comfort to their hearts. Father, we pray for each and every one of these, that not only would you touch them to bring the physical healing, Lord, that you would encourage and bring them spiritual healing for their hearts and their lives. We know so many other needs go along with these physical needs that they have. And so, Father, whether it's financial needs or family needs or emotional needs, maybe there's other struggles that they're facing along with these things. We know, Lord, that there is nothing that is too big for you to handle. There's not too much that's going on in our lives that you can't take care of. And so we uplift all of these these things to you. We place them in your hands, and we ask you, Lord, to take these situations, these struggles, these trials, and Lord, in some way, some shape, some form, to bring glory to your name through them and to bring good into the lives of each one of these individuals. Lord, we ask on behalf of them that you would bring that healing to their bodies. But Father, we know there are some who may have to continue going through the struggles that they're facing. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would help them to lean upon you, help them to find their strength and their source of security in you as they live for you one moment at a time. And that through that trial, especially for these as believers, that you would use that as a witness and a testimony to the lost people in their circles of influence, Lord, that they would be a powerful witness to those friends, to those family members, to doctors and nurses and caregivers, that as they're going through these difficulties, there's a peace in their hearts that passes all understanding, that those individuals would want to know about that peace, and that you would encourage these individuals who are struggling to be a witness even in the midst of their hurt and their pain. Lord, we pray that you'll be with each one of these. Maybe there are some of these, Lord, who don't know Christ, and we just pray, God, that you would send people across their path to share the good news of the gospel with them. Father, use us in whatever way that you will to encourage them and to share the gospel with them. And Father, we ask your blessings upon them. We pray for our missionaries, Lord, who are serving, especially internationally, as we're emphasizing our Lottie Moon Christmas offering and our prayer for and giving for the international missions offering. Father, I pray that you would be with all of our missionaries, especially those internationally, who many are serving in difficult places. And Father, we just pray for your hedge of protection to be placed about them and their families. Lord, we pray that you would use their unique giftedness, whether that's as a lawyer, whether that's as a doctor, whether that's as a school teacher, whatever their giftedness might be, to use it to bring glory to your name in serving as missionaries. And Lord, maybe you're speaking to some of us about the gifts that you've enabled us with, the talents that you've gifted us with. And so, Father, I pray that we would hear your call upon our hearts and go and serve as you give us those opportunities to go on even short-term mission trips, Lord, to be used by you to make a difference in your kingdom work, Lord, to make the greatest impact that we can for the sake of Jesus Christ. Lord, use our lives. And Lord, we know for you to use us, there must be that cleansing in our hearts. And so anytime, Lord, we step out of your path, out of your will, Lord, bring us back to this place of repentance that we're going to see in our passage that we're going to be studying in Isaiah tonight. I pray that you'll make this passage powerful and alive to us. Father, be with our kids in Awana who are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ tonight, and their parents and family who are with them in the rest of the building. Father, we just pray for your blessings upon them. And Lord, we pray that as they finish up Awana for this year and are going to be on break for the next couple of weeks, may the scriptures, Lord, that they've already learned come back to their minds. May they continue to share with their family members and others around them, their friends, the good news of the gospel message of Jesus Christ that they've learned about these last few weeks in the birth of Christ. And Father, I pray that you'll use that message that they share about what you came to do in sending Jesus to come and be born in that lowly manger, to live a perfect sinless life, to die on a cross for our sins, to be buried in the tomb and arise on the third day. Father, I pray that you would use them as a powerful witness in their family and friends' lives. Lord, be with our youth and continue, God, to give them a passion for you. Lord, I pray that if there are any of our youth who are attending who don't know Christ, Lord, use the time that they're in God's Word to let your Word find its seed, its root in their hearts and their lives, that they would come to faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And Father, I pray that you would just bless each person who's watching online. Lord, I praise you and thank you so much for their faithfulness to be a part of our services, even through this means. Even though they can't maybe be here in person, you're using this as a means to include them also and to help them, Lord, to sense your presence and fellowship amongst other believers, even though they are at a distance from us physically. So Father, lay a special blessing upon each one of those. Thank you, Lord, for the healings. Thank you, Lord, for the answer to prayers that we've already heard about and seen. And we just expectantly look forward to the great and mighty things you're going to do in the days ahead. Bless us as we come to your word here in Isaiah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Isaiah chapter 31. Let me just mention, I haven't mentioned this in several weeks. There's a green card that's down here in front of the pulpit. It's a prayer of forgiveness. And I encourage you, if you've not picked up one of those, to pick up one of those. It's something you can use as a believer. It's something you can share with others who may not know Christ as their Lord and Savior. You're going to see that in our passage tonight, as we saw last week in Isaiah chapter 30, that we need to come to the place of repentance in our hearts. Whether we're a Christian or whether we're not. So those who don't know Christ need to come to the place of repentance to trust in salvation in Jesus. And those who have trusted by faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior need to come to the place of repentance of confessing any sin that we have in our hearts and in our lives. So chapter 31 is where we're going to be at tonight. I was looking at some illustrations, and there are many that you can find on the internet. But this one in particular was about trusting in a GPS and it leading you in the wrong direction. This story said this, that there were three Japanese tourists who visited Australia. And from what they said, this was a true story, so I assume it was. You know, you can't believe everything is on the internet, but that's what they said. It was a true story. They had some documentation links you could follow. Now, they were visiting Australia. They hit the road for this place called North Stradbroke Island, which is a small island off the coast of the mainland of Australia. Now, the GPS did give them the most direct path, but it failed to show that it involved crossing 9 miles of water to get there. About 50 yards, this is true, about 50 yards offshore, the vehicle became stuck in the muddy waters, forcing that group to abandon the vehicle and walk back to shore. There were passengers on a ferry, the way most people get to the island, who witnessed this embarrassing event from afar. That's kind of funny to us that somebody would follow a GPS that literally. But here's what we need to understand. You know, misplacing our trust, whether it's in a GPS or whether it's in an individual, or whether it's in a religion, or whether it's in a technology, or whether it's in a machine, or even directions, can have disastrous consequences. It's every person's responsibility to find out who is and who isn't trustworthy before taking any major steps or before making any important decisions. Why? Because failure to do so can result in all kinds of problems. It can lead to the results of being shamed and embarrassed like these guys were. It can lead to failing a test. It could lead to getting fired. Trusting in the wrong source can lead to going bankrupt, to losing your home, to hurting your family. Trusting in the wrong source can lead to getting sick or becoming injured or being conned or deceived. And it can lead to losing your life or even causing the death of somebody else. The list could go on and on and on of the failure to make sure that the source you're putting your trust in is trustworthy. Simply put, the object of our trust needs to be trustworthy for our efforts to achieve something or to be successful. So true believers, we as believers, know that that only the Lord can meet that permanent longing and the needs of our human heart. So it's the Lord that we ought to be trusting in, not in people, not in man. And because the Lord is trustworthy, totally trustworthy, He's the one who should be honored. He's the one who should be respected and trusted and obeyed. And so this scripture we're going to look at here, I've entitled this message, The Foolish Trust, is a strong warning to both the leaders of Isaiah's day and the people of Isaiah's day. Because here's the fact about what was going on. They all, whether they were leaders or people, they all professed to know the Lord. They said with their lips that they knew the Lord, But they ignored God, and they ignored his word from his prophets. They didn't want to hear what the prophets had to say. And they refused to do what the prophets had told them to do. Instead of trusting God, they were placing their trust in Egypt. Now, if you remember last week when we looked in chapter 30, Egypt represents the world. And so they were trusting in the world. But sadly, here's the thing we need to know is this, is that the world will eventually fail everyone who puts their trust in the world. So you'll notice here also in the title of the message tonight, woe number four. So this is the fourth woe message of five messages that Isaiah is delivering to God's people and to God's leaders. Like the previous woe, the previous warning, this woe is also directed towards the pro-Egypt group that's in Judah. What we mean by that pro-Egypt group, there's a group of leaders in Jerusalem that are saying, that are leaning towards Egypt, saying we need to make alliances with Egypt. We need to make some kind of agreement with them that they would send their troops up here to help us against this massive army of the Assyrians who are coming down from the north. And so they're seeking to form that kind of alliance to withstand that Assyrian threat that's laying just over the horizon. Now, the Lord had warned the leaders against forming any kind of partnership like that with unbelieving, wicked Egyptians. And he even specifically had the prophet not just say, don't have any alliances with ungodly people. He said not only to not have alliances with these ungodly people, but don't have alliances with Egypt. So there was no mistaking what God was saying to them. This group of people, you don't need to be having any kind of alliances with, any kind of partnerships. They're wicked. But nevertheless, in defiance of God, the leaders disregard the Lord and they disregard God's warning. This is the fourth warning, and they've already disregarded the first three. They formed the alliance in spite of what God said, and they placed their trust in Egypt, which is the world. So two things I want you to see tonight. There's only nine verses that we're going to be looking at here tonight. I want you to see God's warning to those who ignore him and trust in the military power of Egypt, which is a symbol of the world. I want you to see this picture of trusting people instead of God. Because when you look at this picture that's going on in chapter 31, it's a direct correlation to where we are today, of people putting their trust in people rather than putting their trust in God. So this is what the first five verses is going to talk about. So let's begin here with verse 1. Verse 1 says, woe. We've seen that word, ah, many times, but that's the same word as woe. Ah, it's interchangeable. We saw that back in chapter 30. Now we see the word woe being used here in the English Standard Version. He says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord. So remember what we said, Egypt represents, is a symbol of the world. It's not just the world, it's a representation of the ungodly, of wicked societies who totally ignore the only living and true God. So here's King Hezekiah of Judah and his people who are facing this terrible crisis. The Assyrians, the most powerful nation on earth at that time, they were a cruel people. They sought complete domination over every country they had gone through, over every city that they had conquered in the northern kingdom. Now they're into the southern kingdom. They're getting ready to surround Jerusalem itself. And Isaiah warns Hezekiah and the leadership against forming these alliances with the surrounding nations and also with Egypt for them to be able to withstand the Assyrian forces. Instead of trusting in the arm of the flesh, the power of other nations, Isaiah says, here's what you need to do. You need to be trusting in the Lord. But here was this strong pro-Egyptian party in Judah who wanted to form an alliance with Egypt. And they were enough voices that kept on, and eventually they were successful. They formed that alliance with Egypt in an attempt to discourage the Assyrians. They thought if the Assyrians hear Egypt is coming, they'll back off. That didn't matter to the Assyrians because they knew where Egypt was right now. Egypt as a nation, Egypt as their army, had been in decline for years. And so they weren't any match anymore for the Assyrians. So the Assyrians weren't discouraged about Egypt, but that's what they thought the Jews did, that if they make this alliance with Egypt, it would discourage them from attacking either nation. What follows in these verses that we see here is a clear picture of people placing a far greater value in the wisdom and power of men instead of in the Lord, the only living and true God. So God gives a twofold indictment in this woe against the people of Judah, in particular the king Hezekiah and this pro-Egyptian party. Notice there again in verse 1. He says, woe to who? Woe to those who go down to Egypt. So that's that pro-Egyptian party, the ones who are going down to Egypt. He says, woe, here's the judgment that's going to come on you. You're going down there for help because you rely on their horses. You trust in their chariots. Yeah, maybe they've got many chariots. Maybe they've got many horsemen. You trust in them because they're strong. But here's what you don't do, he says. You're not looking to the Holy One of Israel. You're not even consulting the Lord. You're not even asking the Lord. So first of all, they didn't trust God, the Holy One. He alone is holy. He is set apart. He is above his creation. He alone is righteous. He's sitting above the universe and knows exactly what ought to be done. So anytime we're facing any difficulty, any trial, any problem in our life, the very first place that we ought to go to is the Lord. Is the Lord. Notice Judah's only hope, they thought, of deliverance from the Assyrian threat was Egypt. But really what their only hope was the Lord. But they totally ignored him. And so notice secondly, the people of Judah, they didn't seek the Lord's help. Instead, they looked to Egypt. They're relying on Egypt's military power to help them, even though Egypt is a fading power on the world scene at this time. It apparently still had a large, well-equipped army with a large cavalry, a number of chariots. You can read over in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 28 and 29. It tells us that Solomon's import of horses was from Egypt and Kew, and the king's traders received them from Kew at a price. A chariot could be imported from Egypt for 600 shekels of silver and a horse for 150. And so through the king's traders, they were exported to all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Syria. So here we see they had a large army. They had a large number of chariots that even Solomon had used and had gone to in 1 Kings chapter 10. So when you look at that, and based solely on what the human eye could see, you think, oh, that's a no-brainer. We should go to a more powerful nation. We're just a little bitty country here of Israel. We need some help. We need some big guys to come in to help us to overthrow our enemies. And so based just solely on human observation, an alliance with Egypt, it seemed like the only possible way for Judah to secure any kind of thing against the Assyrian threat. But that was in direct violation of the Lord's word. God had said that his people were not to place their trust in horses. They're not to place their trust in Egypt, that is in their military power or the wicked, godless nations of the world. But sadly, that's exactly what Hezekiah did and the people of Judah did. So it's not just the leadership that does this, it's the people that go along with it. Ignoring the Lord, they seek the help of Egypt. Instead of placing their confidence in the Lord, they trusted in armies, they trusted in weapons. The weapons of who? Unbelievers. You know, when you're not putting your trust in God and you're putting your trust in people, most often we're putting our trust in people who don't even know the Lord. That's why we should never put our trust in our political leaders. We should never put our trust in any kind of national leaders. We should never put our trust in people. We ought to always put our trust in God. And so God issues a strong warning to Judah, in particular, this pro-Egyptian politicians who ignored the Lord and sought the help of Egypt. Notice verse 2. Verse 2 says, "And yet he is wise." Who is wise? The Lord. "Yet he is wise and brings disaster. He does not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the helpers of those who work iniquity." And so the Lord is saying here, he gives a fivefold warning here, that the Lord is going to prove that his wisdom far exceeds the wisdom of all these politicians who said, "We need to go down to Egypt." And so the Lord is the one who is truly wise. The Lord is the one who truly needs to be trusted. And so that's what verse 2 is talking about. So these leaders, they felt like their only course of action, the wise course of action, was to seek this alliance. But in his wisdom, God knew better. How often in our lives, when we're faced with a trial or we're faced with some circumstance that's difficult, that we go to the Lord and we say, "Lord, here's what I need you to do, but I want you to do it this way." And we think we're wise, that we know better than God does. And that's what was happening here with the people and with the leaders. They thought they knew better than God did. God had said, "Don't do this," and yet they thought they knew better than he did. And so just like Isaiah predicted, if they sought this alliance with Egypt, disaster is going to come. And what we see in verse 3 is that the Lord would keep his word and the evildoers would be judged. Notice the Egyptians, he says, they're man. They're just men. They're just human flesh and blood. They're not God. And their horses are flesh and not spirit. And when the Lord stretches out his hand, the helper will stumble and he who is helped will fall and they will all perish together. Wow. The Lord shows here that just like he had warned centuries earlier through Moses, so now it would be. Everyone who disobeyed his holy word would face judgment. The Lord would destroy the wicked in Judah and all of their allies. So he says, not only is Judah going to fall, but the ones they trusted in are going to fall, and they're all going to perish together. Verse 4. "For thus the Lord said to me," this is Isaiah, "for thus the Lord said to me, as a lion or a young lion growls over his prey, and when a band of shepherds is called out against him, he's not terrified by their shouting or daunted at their noise. So the Lord of hosts will come down to fight on Mount Zion and on its hill." So notice what happens here. He tells us here that these aren't these horses, they're just flesh. These chariots, they're just machines. When the Lord stretches out his hand of judgment, that he's going to completely destroy both men and their weapons. And he says, like a great lion, the Lord is able to consume his prey. Notice what he says. You can bring all the shepherds you want out. And the shepherds can make all the noise that they want to. They can holler and shout. There's a lion over here who's growling over his prey, about to devour his prey. And they can go out, "Hey, hey, 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 hey." Lion ain't going to pay no attention to you. In fact, what he's going to do is be drawn to you and pounce on you and attack you. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying that this group of shepherds could oppose a lion. They could shout. They could make as much noise as they wanted to, but it's not going to frighten the lion. Who's the lion? The Lion of Judah, the Lord. The Lord's going to return to Mount Zion, to Jerusalem, to fight his enemies when they gather to destroy his people. That's what the second half of verse 4 is talking about. When he says, so the Lord of hosts will come down to fight on Mount Zion and on its hill. That's Jerusalem that he's speaking of. So he's saying here, everybody who opposes the Lord and his people one day are going to face the Lord himself and the hand of his judgment. That's a direct reference to the Assyrian army, which would soon set up a siege against Jerusalem. We're in chapter 31, and about five chapters later, in chapter 36 through chapter 37, is when they surround Jerusalem. And all hope seems to be lost. They put all their eggs in one basket, thinking they could get Egypt to come and help them, and now they're in a pickle in chapter 36 and chapter 37. And so you go to verse 5, and he says, like birds hovering, so the Lord of hosts will protect Jerusalem. He will protect and deliver it. He will spare and rescue it. Now think about what he just got done saying. He just got done saying the Lord's like a lion who's going to pounce on his prey, and he's going to bring judgment on these leaders and upon those who, the people who are going down and trusting in Egypt. But now he also says, just like a bird is hovering overhead, the Lord is going to shield and deliver Jerusalem. In other words, what he's telling us here is he's going to save a remnant of believers through whom he would fulfill all his promises. You see, it was necessary to save a remnant through who he could send the Savior and of the world and send his word to the world. So understand this, when we go about our daily tasks throughout the day, how many of us ignore God? We trust in our human power. We trust in our brains. We trust in our own abilities. We trust in our own wisdom. We trust in our technology to accomplish tasks. Think about these questions for a moment. Think about this. How many CEOs or business owners fail to base their business practices on principles laid down in God's word? How many managers ignore the Lord's instructions about how to lead people? How many doctors and nurses and medical technicians depend only on their own abilities, their own wisdom, the latest technology to heal? How many politicians and government officials go about their daily tasks without ever seeking God's will in the decisions they make? How many of us act as if our faith is in our own hands? Now, obviously, we're to use our wisdom that we have. We're to use the technology that we have developed to lessen the impact of nature's catastrophic forces, as well as diseases and the aging process of the human body. In fact, God created man and woman. He instructed us to multiply on the earth and to subdue it, which implies we're to control all the disorderly forces of nature as much as possible. But as we go about our daily tasks on this earth, we ought to acknowledge the Lord. We ought to trust in him, because who created this universe? He did. We didn't. He knows best. He gave us the intelligence that we have. He gave us the abilities that we have. And so we ought to acknowledge him as the giver of life and the giver of every good and perfect gift. You know, in addition, when situations arise in life and you can't handle those situations, no matter how wise you are or how sophisticated our technology, especially at those times, we ought to be trusting in the Lord, because he's the only one who can deliver us. And if we place our trust in ourselves, we'll collapse when catastrophe strikes. It'll crush us. If we trust in the Lord, he will give us the strength to walk through and to conquer the crisis, even death itself. Listen to God's word, what it says about the danger of trusting only in the power and the ability of man. Psalm 52:7 says, see the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. Proverbs 18, verse 10 and verse 11 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. That's where you find safety. That's where you find security. Verse 11 says, a rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his imagination. So we see there the call. We see also in verse 6 through verse 9 this call to repent and to turn back to God. Not only a picture of trusting people instead of God, but now we see God's invitation to those who ignore and rebel against him. Notice what Isaiah said about the person who rebels in verse 6 down to verse 9. He says, "Turn to him from whom people have deeply revolted, O children of Israel. For in that day everyone shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your hands have sinfully made for you. And the Assyrian shall fall by a sword, not of man, and a sword, not of man, shall devour him. And he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be put to forced labor. His rock shall pass away in terror. His officers desert the standard in panic, declares the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and whose furnace is in Jerusalem." What does he say here about the person who rebels? He says that kind of person is gripped by a deep or great rebellion, which indicates here, as we see the invitation, that God's going to protect those here in Jerusalem, that he is extending an invitation here, and it shows us here that God excludes no one from his invitation. He's willing to save any who should come to him. He's not willing that any should perish, Peter tells us, but that all should come to salvation. So what is this invitation that God extends? It's an invitation to repent. It's an invitation to turn back to the Lord, because God saves his people from his enemies. And because he does that, all who are in rebellion ought to repent and ought to return to the Lord. Understand that God's salvation is so wonderful that any person who doesn't turn back to the Lord is a fool. The evidence of repentance is obvious. People who truly turn away from idolatry and turn to worship the Lord alone, that is the evidence of repentance. Notice the phrase that we see in verse 7. "For in that day." Multiple times we've already seen that throughout the book of Isaiah. What's that referring to? The latter days of human history. In that day, all the idols are going to be cast down. All the false worship is going to cease. In that day, that wonderful day of the Lord's exaltation and worship is coming. They ought to reject all the idols and fall down to worship the Lord. He says, not then. Don't wait till then. Do it now. The Lord is the only living and true God, and so he ought to be the only object of our worship now. Don't wait till that day when every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and every knee is going to bow before him. He's saying, do it now. But notice there's another reason for repenting and turning back to the Lord. He promises to deliver his people from their enemies. That's what verse 8 and verse 9 was talking about. So even though the Jews would suffer the judgment of God's hands, the Assyrian army is going to kill many of the Jews, God is going to save this remnant. Even though other cities of Judah would be destroyed, God is going to save Jerusalem. And that's what we read about a little while later here, where God protects Jerusalem and 185,000 Assyrian soldiers are destroyed in one night. What we see here is this clear call on people everywhere to repent. So even if we've ignored and denied the Lord all of our lives, the Lord still extends an invitation to us to repent and to turn back. Repentance is absolutely necessary if we're going to escape the judgment that's coming on this earth. Acts 17, verse 30 says this, "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent." If we don't repent, we will face God's judgment. You know, life is uncertain. No person is guaranteed another day of life. God's Spirit doesn't always convict and draw people to him. That is, he won't strive with people forever. There is a point that you can reach in your life of no return. So when the Spirit of God is convicting you of sin in your heart, of failing to trust in the Lord, it's at that moment you need to confess and to repent. We need to turn back to him. And if we confess our sin and our distrust and come before him in repentance, he will cleanse us and forgive us of all of our sins. That's where that green card comes back into play. A prayer of forgiveness. God's invitation for us to repent and turn back to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessing of your word tonight. Lord, you even offer the invitation to those of us who may have turned our backs upon you for years and years. Father, there may be someone who's watching online who that describes them tonight. Father, I pray that they would come to the place of repentance and trust by faith in Jesus as their Savior. But Lord, there may be some of us, even as believers, that we've not been trusting in you like we should have been. We've been trusting in ourselves. We've been trusting in others. We've been trusting in our finances. We've been trusting in our jobs. We've been trusting in politicians. We've been trusting in military. We've been trusting in all kinds of other things except for you. Father, I pray that you'd bring us to the place of repentance, to the place of humbleness in our hearts, to worship you with all of our hearts. Bless us, Lord, as we leave this week, as we get ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ next Wednesday. Father, I pray that you will be glorified and honored in our lives as we make Jesus known to the nations of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us there online. We look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday. Don't forget that we've got our Christmas program Sunday night at 6 p.m. Join us at 9:15 for Sunday school, 10:30 for worship. You can be there with us online, or you can join us here in person. But you have a blessed week, a safe week, and we'll see you this coming Sunday.